Quorum being present, I'll call the pre-council meeting to order. Mr. Trapp indicated that he was running a little bit late and that we should proceed without him. And Dr. Peters, and here's Pro Tem Scala. Mr. Glasscock, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So tonight we want to cover what we foresee as potential ballots coming forward in the next year. So I'm going to ask Mike Griggs, Parks and Rec Director, to start us off with the park sales tax.
Thank you, John. My name is Mike Griggs. I'm the Parks and Recreation Director. And with me tonight, I have Gabe Huffington, our Park Services Manager, and Erica Kaufman, our Recreation Services Manager, as this presentation obviously impacts their operations as well. Our park sales tax will expire on March 31st in 2022, and usually we go out and forward in about the November prior to the expiration of that ballot issue. The history of this was in 2000 we passed it with a 1/8 cent for the being permanent to acquire Stevens Lake Park, and then the 1/8 cent renewable was actually helped purchase it and to do all the development part of that. Over the next three times we renewed the ballot issue in 2005. On that one, it was a five-year renewal. There were multiple other propositions on that ballot issue. Prop 2 failed, which would have funded an ice rink at a farmer's market, which would extend the park sales tax from 5 years to 7 years. And there were several other propositions for streets, public safety, construction, development fees, and there was a mixture of passing and fail in on those as well. And in 2010, it was just the Senate election, and the taser ban was on that, and it passed with the 5 years. And then in 2015, we went out for a 6-year. That was the year we debated whether or not to go 5 or 6 or 10 years, and at the time, the decision was made just to do a 6-year ballot issue. How did we fund things before we had the park sales tax? Well, at that time, we were just part of the city's overall. The city had a general 1/4 cent sales tax that was renewed periodically. And if you look at 1996, the streets and sidewalks had roughly 67%. Public safety had a significant amount. And then again, in Parks and Rec, we had 9% of that ballot issue. But then again, in 1999, we had a big significant pot of that ballot issue, where Parks and Rec, and then when it looks like it's public safety, but it's actually Parks and Rec, and it funded that was when the ARC was built. So $10 million of that $13.5 million was part of the ARC construction. And if you look at how are we funded overall as a department in terms of capital and operating budget, 33% of our budget comes from the park sales tax. The general fund's 32%. Fees and charges are 30%, and usually that's a little bit higher. But of course, for our FY21, we're projecting it's going to be a little less just because of the whole COVID responses. So normally they're really right within the same amount, 1 percentage point of each other, those three big categories. We do have use of rec services fund balance, and that's because we collect user fees that we set aside for development projects. So every year we take $100,000 to $130,000 in user fee. And then we have another pot of about $80,000 for golf course user fee, the ARC user fee. So when you add all that up, it kind of sits in a fund balance that it generates. And of course, we're conservative in our funding that we don't try to ever dip into that, but it's there just in case. And then of course, we do get a lot of grants and other items that we try to solicit. So over the years, you can see that the park sales tax subsidy to Parks and Rec has been about $37 million. That has helped us operate and to help renovate and maintain and develop our parks and trail system. So when we're coming up with a decision on our 2021 park sales tax, in 2019, in FY fiscal year, we estimated about $2.8 million is what will come in. That's what it came in at. Our estimated for 20 is 2.7, and we're going a little lower than that in our FY21. So as we move forward with our decision-making process for the next renewal of the park sales tax, what do we want to do? Do we want to go to 10 years instead of 5 or 6 years? Do we want to look at making it a permanent instead of temporary? Do we want to increase it to maybe help fund Parks and Rec and completely remove us from the general fund subsidy? And so these are some of the questions that will be asked of you guys as well as we move forward. And so the question I was asked is, can our ballot issue be increased to completely fund our department? Well, the Missouri statute allows us to go up to 0.5 cents of the tax for local parks and stormwater. Our current sales tax rate's at 0.25 cents, so we can add another quarter. So right now we have a 0.18 cent for operating that's permanent and a 0.18 cent that's renewable. So we could double that if we wanted to. And that would generate $5.5 million. So if you look at our budget, we have about a $5.1 million in FY20 that we get from the general fund subsidy. Our FY21 budget has a general fund subsidy of $4.8 million. So if we were to go ahead and go up to a 0.25 cent increase of tax to cover that, then it would generate $5.5 million, which could free up that $4.8 million for other general fund departments. So the answer is yes, you could. If you double the park sales tax, you could fund other things through the general fund that would not be needed then for park sales tax.
Mike, can I just ask, I thought when that original park sales tax went in 2000, that there was something in the ballot that said we could not decrease the funding for Parks and Rec below what it was in 2000. Am I confused?
You are right. There is something in there, but I don't know that it was as much as in a legal mandate or as it was a promise to the voters that we wouldn't do it. And I think that was something we would need to work with legal and to find out whether or not we can do that or not.
Okay, because it seems like if it's a promise,
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's the legal and then there's the morally proper thing
right.
to do.
But and I think the fact was what they didn't want to have at the time was what was the state was doing, where the state would pass the soils tax and took away all the money for agriculture, and the park tax took away all the money for state parks. So
right. They
didn't want to see that happen. That was part of the gist of that.
Okay.
So I think if there was an alternate funding source, then I don't know. We just would need to have legal look into that to make sure before we move forward.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. That's a good question. The sales tax rate of that, though, would kick us over 8%. And I know that that we've always, as a city, tried to stay in that under 8%. So right now we're at 9.75. So if we went to that, we would be over close to 8.25%. When we ask the citizens in our citizen survey, every year before the ballot issue, we go with the ETC, and they do a citizen survey, and we ask them these kind of questions. And one of the questions was, would you be willing to make it permanent? And at that time, the very supportive was only 51%. And so at the not supportive and not sure was quite a bit. And so really, you look at that, and at the time, it was just too close to even consider taking it out for the ballot issue in 15. And so we did not go for that. When you asked them, why would you do it? The assistant said, I think voting to approve the tax every 5 years is appropriate. I would be willing to support it if it helped fund larger ticket items, you know, like what we kind of did by going to 6 years with the sports field house. We added that extra year to help fund it. And then, of course, you had a quarter of the people said, I don't support it at all, period. So as we look forward to it, as our citizen survey, the questions we're going to ask is, are you willing to support, go up to 10? And on our last in 2015, the decision from going to 5 to 10 was negligible. The voters said, we don't care. You know, we already passed in the road tax at 10 years. We think 5 to 10, depending especially if you had a couple big ticket items, seemed appropriate. ETC usually nails our ballot issue exactly. When they predicted if we went out for 5 to 7 years that we would be 70%, we were right at 70% of a positive vote. And so we'll really trust those guys when it comes down to help us narrow down how far we go out. And then we would ask them, are you willing to make it a 1-8 temporary permanent, or are you willing to increase it? So we will work and see, depending on your direction tonight, how we can free up that and ask those questions to the citizens. I get asked this a lot, is the timing even good to do it? You know, and you know, we're looking at, if you look at the NRPA, our National Recreation and Park Association, parks and trails were really the biggest users throughout this thing, you know, the whole COVID-19. You know, there was a lot of well-being, health and fitness, being out in nature, using trails, using the parks, going outside was really seen as a positive, not just in Columbia, but across the country. And here in town, if you look at the trail usage, we were increased by 85% over our trail usage, using the same counters that was out there on the trails for the non-motorized Get About program grant. And you see the, some of the comments that when our, you know, when the ARC was closed, they went out on the trails. So we do think that there is some support still coming out there despite the COVID-19 issues. Looking at our timeline, this fall we're meeting with our user groups. We're having IP discussions, meeting with other department heads like Amy Schneider and CVB on what are some of the key ticket items we want to look forward to. Meeting with groups like PedNet. Our sports groups, things like that. What are their needs as we look forward to the next 10 years? We're going to go out in December to January for a citizen survey for trying to figure out what are the citizens willing to support. In January, we'll request that the mayor and the city manager appoint a citizen committee to help promote this like we did in 2015. February through March, we'll finalize the projects with meeting with the various parks, or the all the city commissions from PNZ to historic preservations, bike and ped, et cetera. We'll meet with all the commissions, get their input, and then finally a work session with council. And then June and July, we'll come back to council with legislation to put the ballot, you know, put it on the ballot issue, as well as to identify the list of projects that we will fund. And then, of course, November 2nd is election day of 2021. If you looked at 15, is these what I call the big, you know, the big five categories with a contingency, you know, where we broke out the park sales tax. And when you look at this, you know, improvement to existing parks and trails and greenbelt really was a bulk of it because of we did a lot of maintenance. We did road and we did bridge repairs on the replacements on the MKT trail. So a lot of that is maintenance. So well over 50% of our funding is used to take care of what we've got, which is really important for us. The $3.2 million in facility and park development is we usually use, we get donations of parkland for neighborhood parks, where we actually will go out and do a combination purchase and donation, and then we develop those parks in the next ballot issue, and so that's how that comes up. And then, of course, land acquisition preservation. You know, that's an important factor that the council has historically supported to help protect green space as Columbia grows. If we get to the point where we're not growing geographically, then that may not need to go as much. So those are items for us to discuss as we move forward. And so, well, our direction from you tonight is some tentative thoughts on confirmation that we're going to be out in November 2021 for our ballot issue. That's depending on if you have any other ballot issues you want to consider, or and then the direction on council thoughts on willingness to support the 10-year to maybe keep the 1/8 cent permanent or make it temporary, or do you want to consider even talking about going up to doubling it to free up the general fund money for other priorities? These decisions don't have to be made tonight. I think as we move forward with our citizen survey, which will go out in December and January, we'll want to kind of know a little bit as we move forward with that. So we'll be working with ETC starting in early December to finalize that survey. So as long as we would know before we need to get that citizen survey mailed out after the holidays, then we'll be ready to go on those decisions. So that's really my presentation for tonight. So
any questions for Director Griggs? Dr. Peters.
I'm trying to make sure you can see me now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I may just refer to you first.
Just look to your left
make
and then
sure.
Work your way through.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thought. Where are we with the projects that you had planned to fund with the last 6 years or of sales tax? Now, you guys do a really good job of having a list of what you're planning to do or at least anticipating doing. Where are you with that?
You will be seeing a lot of me in the next couple meetings as we finalize the last round of projects. But we will be either completed or substantially completed or at least underway with all of our projects by the time we go out to the vote. We want to make sure that we tell the citizens we've done what you've asked us to do and we're there. So it's kind of like one example will be Battle High School. As we go start developing Battle High School, we're going to do the first phase of that park. And then as that project ends, the goal would be, in an ideal world, that we pass the ballot issue in November 21, and then we roll right into second phase while our crew's out there. So we're finishing up phase one. Our staff's there already, so we're rolling right into phase two. And so then that way we can do kind of two ballot issues at one time. It's kind of what we did with Stevens at one time. So.
Okay, thanks.
Congress will not be up. What are you anticipating? We have to pay for our share of a ballot question. Do you have any insights of other things that are coming to the ballot in Boone County next year to align?
Not in November at this time. Not that I know of. You know, usually April is school council. August is generally up for some other things. So, no, that's why we're wanting to kind of figure out tonight to kind of strategize. But I'm not aware of any, and Mr. Glasscock, I'd have to defer to him on if he's heard.
I've heard of nothing yet, Ms. Fowler.
So since we're going to have an April election next year,
it could be. Yeah, but again, it's also part of, you know, the last time in 2015, I think our cost, we were, again, a single issue on that ballot, and it was like $120,000 for us to pay for that. And we just took it out of the contingency of the park sales tax ballot to pay for that. And so it was unfortunate that you have to pay for that, but when you look at the payment of it, doing it at the right time, the concern has always been with previous councils was that if you did it during the April election, it becomes a candidate issue. You know, like, are you going to, you know, if I'm going to vote for Pat Fowler because she's either for or against the park sales tax. And so the previous councils have chosen not to do that, to put those candidates in that kind of spot. And me too.
Well, I'm just thinking in terms of, because of the impacts of COVID, impacts on our sales tax, looking at ways to.
Right. Yes, and it'd be precedent right now to get it for April. We'd be already way behind. We don't have a committee established. We haven't really done any. We'd be hard pressed to get it. We could do it. It just wouldn't be to the level that I'd like to do it.
Any other questions, Director Griggs, Mr. Scott?
Is this appropriate for questions, or are we going to chat a little bit about? They were asking for recommendations.
Can do that too. Do you have a question first?
No.
Can I ask Mr. Trapp? Do you have a question?
Yes. No, I was going to make a recommendation.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. I think you put it up there, but it flew by a little quick. What's the total city, state, and county sales tax that we currently charge across all of Columbia?
Let's see. Almost, oh, there it is. Right now, 8%. It's at 7.975.
Okay. And then there
so this would move it to 8.225.
And then in certain areas, there are CIDs.
Correct.
And transportation development districts and things like that as well.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
So help me out. We have a 5-year sunset now?
Six.
We have a 6-year sunset. And is your thought to not only do a renewal, but then a quarter cent increase as well?
Well, that's the big discussion. What we would, you know, that would be the option would be one way to help maybe free up more general fund funding for police, fire, other departments like that would be to maybe fund, get us completely on the park sales tax where we're not taking any of the general fund funding.
Got it.
And then that would free up $4.8 million. Right now, if our ballot issue passed with doubling the tax rate, then it would be, then you would have $4.8 million for other departments.
Got it. And you have a rolling 6-year average now, and is that
yes, we did.
Two
we,
issues.
Yes, it would
every
be two.
3 years.
And I think we would keep one temporary. You know, I think we would keep one of them temporary for the capital improvements and the renovations.
Right.
You know, because we're always going to need that. You're going to need those kind of projects. And I think the citizens feel good because we show them the ballot issue. We show them the projects we're going to do, and they can see it.
And then you do them.
And we do them.
Right.
Yes,
that's the key. And then you do them before you go ask for more.
Yes, sir.
Right. Are you contemplating a fairgrounds phase as part of that 21?
Well, right now we're looking at some big ticket items like the second phase of the sports field house, you know, which would be about a $5 to $6 million. So that would be 2 years out of the 10 years. You know, that would be one. And then we're looking at some of the like Rainbow Softball Centers, you know, 35 plus years old, you know, some improvements there. So we're looking at maybe 700. The Arc, we're looking to do some work there on the pool shell. And so we're looking at, we've got some, you know, maybe another couple year projects of value there. And so then the fairgrounds becomes a critical issue there. And of course, as some options are, is that one where we can do a public-private partnership at? You know, where maybe we make the fairgrounds available for some of these people that want to do something and work with them and maybe do something. We could start off with something small like a, you know, a $100,000 to $200,000 to maybe renovate what's there, kind of get the, add some air, sprinkler system to the building so they could become usable for big crowds and stuff for the public, and then maybe start phasing in with some of the other stuff down the road.
How old is the Arc now?
Oh, gosh, it's how old is the Arc, Erica? 2002.
I was going to say 20. It's 18.
Yeah, I was, wow. I knew I was a little short.
Unbelievable. Okay. Mr. Scala, you want to, any other questions? You want to lead us off on some discussion?
Yeah, I mean, you were soliciting some feedback. I think that was kind of the point of this whole thing. It goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. I mean, the Parks Department is one of the exemplars of this community. I think in terms of what they put on the schedule, if you will, and then following through with it. So it has quite a reputation. And frankly, if some of the other issues that we come across had the same approach, I think we'd be in a little bit better shape. So I'm inclined to support a lot of what you have to say. On the other hand, and there is always another hand, I think it goes without saying that a 10-year sunset is probably okay. I think folks like some sort of review process. It doesn't have to be every 5 years, and that incurs some cost every time you do it. So I certainly would be in support of that, but I think it may be a bit premature until we get through at least the budget discussions. I mean, this year we have a 10% cut. It's probably going to be a 10% cut for the next 2 years or so, maybe longer. We're in the middle of a pandemic. There's all kinds of things. Everybody has an ox to gore, not the least of which is the Parks Department. And this, you were right, it does provide an opportunity in the midst of this pandemic for people to get out and do some of these things. I'm a little reluctant to step out there and suggest. I would like to see some increase. I don't know if I want to go whole hog on this whole thing and without having the benefit of the rest of the discussion about some of the other stuff that's going on, in, particularly in this budget season. But that's my inclination. And my inclination is, given the fact that, you know, after a while, when you do some governing, your approach to this is kind of... If you have a conservative approach and a very liberal approach to this, and then there is a third option, often the third option is the one is the one that works because you're trying to deal with constituents and so on and so forth. So when it comes to 1/8 cent or 1/4 cent or that kind of thing or permanence, those issues, without further feedback and without the discussion in the budget session, I think I'm a little reluctant to jump on out there. But my inclination is to certainly to support some of your requests and to have a modest approach to some of these issues in the context of our discussions this fall. So, where I am.
Thank you. So I agree with Mr. Scala that Parks has done a good job and it's something that the community supports. I think we might want to consider, the 6-year cycle got it off the SIP. That's why we were on, so because it had to run with the capital improvement project ballot. So we achieved that. I wouldn't be opposed to a permanent. I think it has some value in not having those election costs regularly, and people do support the parks. I think an increase is definitely worth considering as we take budget cuts. Kind of protecting park funding might be something that people want to consider. It would be a heavy, be a hard ask for people to pay more for the same services. So if you're looking for big ticket items, I will remind you that in the park master plan, there's the Creasy Springs Quarry that's coming into city ownership in 2024. People probably haven't followed that very second ward issue, but it's a frustrating thing for second ward residents now because of the explosions and the dust on Creasy Springs Road from the quarry. But that's on city land that we leased to the quarry operators in the 1970s, and that lease is expiring. And in the park's master plan, we included a deep water swimming hole and a dive park for that, because quarries, when they're done with their useful life of quarrying, become nice quarry lakes like the quarry neighborhood has on the south side of town. And it would be a shame to see that high-level amenity go to privatized exclusive uses for high-income individuals and not be a public amenity that people have access to. If anybody knows of a decent swimming hole in mid-Missouri, I would like to hear about it, because I don't believe that there's anything. I mean, the quarry by Lawrence might be the closest one. Maybe I'm just out of touch. If you don't have access to the quarry lake or some other, it would be a nice amenity. So that's something that could also be funded by user fees on the order of golf, so it wouldn't have to take a huge city investment, because I've seen high-level swimming amenity places funded by concessions and entrance fees. So I hope that that gets to be considered as perhaps a low city contribution, high value project that could have a marquee on a ballot ask. But I think your approach is smart to look at the survey data. You have a good relationship with the survey folks in general. I'm not sure a resident survey tells us much about electorates, but they do know parks. I've seen that presentation many times, and they have a predictive history that's exceptional. So I think I support your approach in looking at, you know, based on that feedback, whatever you come back with, I'm likely to support. I don't think we can move up the timeline. And in a standalone November election's a lot cheaper than a shared election like what we have this year, because, you know, there's a lot more election costs with a lot higher turnout.
Any other comments? Mr. Pitzer?
Have you ever done an August ballot, or has it always been November?
It's always been November, because generally we'd have the public works or utilities would have an August election. And we were thinking maybe at this time we would set that aside if there was another one.
Right.
That would be an option too. So.
Right. Well, there's some other potential, you know, tax issues that may be coming before us that I think, you know, for me, the uncertainty about whether or not those happen kind of preempts the conversation for me about increasing this tax, if that makes sense. And in terms of, you know, the length of time, you know, I'd be interested in seeing, you know, maybe just sketching out some ballpark numbers on what you would look at with a 6-year versus a 10-year, you know, what types of projects you could get started on. Knowing that you have a 10-year stream coming. And the other thing I'm hearing is that it sounds like there's a lot of projects that are coming your way. You know, we've got a lot of great assets in the city, that, and some of which have been here for a while and need their fair share of work. So, you know, maybe one of those categories in your traditional breakdown there, maybe you take a pause on, you know, new acquisitions or something, or lessen that a little bit, and maybe fund some of that work that needs to get done. And then, you know, if we're able to take care of what we have, you know, then we can look at adding more. So, I need to see kind of what could get done with those different lengths of time before I can kind of weigh in on that.
Thomas.
Well, I also really appreciate the work your department does, Mike, and has done for the whole time that I've lived in Columbia. It's been really impressive, very good public support for everything, and you just do a really good job of communicating with the public and with the council and putting together plans that you then execute, and the performance of the department and all the facilities is always top-notch. And I wanted to say I've also been really excited to see the usage of the trails and the parks. I live right by the MKT trail. It was remarkable in March and April, the change, as a lot of, particularly I think kids' activities got shut down. So you saw a lot of families out enjoying the trail and the parks. And then I noticed a lot of kind of more teenage kids out in small groups or on their own on bikes. So I think it's just an incredible asset for this community, and we've really benefited from it. So to respond to your questions, they've switched, but I think I can remember them. Yeah, I'm definitely open to the 10-year sunset as opposed to 6 years. I'm open to going to an eighth of a cent, or to asking voters about an eighth of a cent temporary and an eighth of a cent permanent. Is that right? Is that reading that right? Currently, it's a quarter cent, and it's all renewed every however many years. I don't think I'm going to support increasing the sales tax. I think if we need, and I hear what you're saying, it would essentially free up general fund money for other priorities that don't have dedicated taxes. So we're essentially increasing sales tax for those priorities, really, if your department's budget is staying the same. But I think if we're increasing our taxes, we should be looking at property taxes, not sales taxes, to do that. And whether that would be a parks property tax or public safety or something else, I'm not sure, but that's roughly where I am. Sure.
It prompted a question that I didn't have before, but this whole idea, it might be useful to at least expound a little bit to the extent that you can on this intricate dance that we have scheduling elections and scheduling issues for elections. I mean, you said that this typically comes up in November and so on. There is, and maybe the city manager might weigh in on this. I mean, there are even and odd years for school ballot issues and city ballot issues and all kinds of other things. And the public might benefit from a little bit of information with respect to how these stand, and their turnout issues and so on and so forth, how these things are scheduled. You just a little bit about your strategy and how this works?
Well, when you saw back in 2010, when we had multiple ballot issues on there, that we all passed roughly right around 51% to 53%. So there was a lot of I'll vote for this and vote no for that. I'll vote for this and not for that. And so you had a lot of yes and no's. People tended to
comparisons, if you will.
Yes. And it would help prioritize. And for us, for example, that was where we said, all right, well, we could do it for 5 years. And if you want to make it 7 years, pass this next one for 2 years, and we'll build the ice rink and the farmer's market. And so they voted for the 5 year, but not the 7 years. So, the two-year addition. So that was part of that. And I think down the road that as we looked at how the utilities have done it with their ballot issue and public works with the roads and stuff, it seems that it's easier to educate the citizens. So when I go out to the public, and I did 22 presentations to various civic clubs, leading the month leading up to the ballot issue. And it's if it's a one-topic item, it's easy. I can stand up and talk all about parks, but if I'm going to go to the Rotary Club and there's several different groups on there, then you're going to have myself and, Dave Nichols and John Glasscock and, everybody on there. And it became an education issue as well. So that's kind of why they ended up separating it out, at one time, streets and us were on the same one, and so that was part of it. So
part of the strategy is to kind of isolate the issues so that
right. It
becomes more obvious to the folks when they're educated
exactly
about
what they're voting on, exactly what it is, and that way it's a good education. They can clearly know what they're doing.
I'm certainly willing to support a longer sunset I mean, that makes it harder for you in 10 years to justify that renewal. You've got a longer list of projects, et cetera. I wouldn't want a potential increase to jeopardize the accountability that voters give you now. You know, like, it's easy to say this is a no tax increase. This is to continue what we've done. Here's the authority you gave us 6 years ago. Here's what we've done to complete it. I mean, given the percentage by which the public and this council supports the work that you're doing, you may not see enough atrophy to jeopardize renewal of that, but I think that's probably something to consider and probably something the citizen satisfaction survey could help inform our opinion. And I think for the rest of it, it's probably project dependent. I think the right project, voters will respond enthusiastically. Mr. Pitzer, with respect to your question, was that an inquiry regarding Wayfair and where we're at on that?
Yeah, it was.
So let me give you a brief thumbnail on that. A bill was passed that created new ballot language for those cities that wish to adopt a use tax for online sales. That bill was vetoed by the governor because of some unrelated language. So had that bill been intact, I would have felt more comfortable about us, not now, not in November, probably not in March, pursuing a Wayfair question, a use tax question, because it was very good language for us. But without that, I would hesitate to put anything on the ballot for fear that if and when the legislature does pass something, we'd have to do it all again. I think there is potential for additional special sessions between now and November, and certainly before now and January, that may include Wayfair. I think a lot of those issues, like the ballot language, like the cable franchise fee, like the how we phase it in, what the state does with their money, has the potential to be worked out by then, and I think a special session would give that some focus. That would be an ideal scenario, that they would do that singular focus on Wayfair, it passes, and we do something as early as March or April of 21. If they don't, I think we're back in the same cycle of them passing it and it becoming effective just in the nick of time for us to put something on the August ballot. If there's no emergency clause, it would maybe even have to be after that August 28th effective date. That throws us into a November of 21. But ideally, it would be, given how hamstrung municipalities are with declining sales tax because everyone is shopping online, it makes sense to do it as a special session item. But I don't think it happens anytime soon.
Can I ask you a question in terms of your presentation here and what you're talking about? And it all makes a great deal of sense. There has been some discussion about enabling legislation, the Wayfair stuff, and what the state does, and whether or not we can approach this from a position of being ready for if something happens, notwithstanding that we may have to change it if something happens that we're not prepared for. Do you think it's any advantage to doing anything before the state acts, that is, to at least send the well, I'm sure they're aware of the message anyway, but at least be aware of the message in writing that the city of Columbia is ready to do this, seriously ready to do this, to encourage them to come along with it? Is that worth the conversation, or you feel that it's better if we wait until the state acts?
I would like to have that imprimatur from this council, as opposed to just me. And I will tell you that I'm working with, probably 85 mayors right now on that issue. A group of them are meeting in Columbia this week about that, and I would fully expect, if we don't physically sign a letter to the governor, that we adopt, you know, that these following mayors support a special session on Wayfair, and I would love it if the council would join me in that. I think it gives, and I'm very cautious about, you know, certainly don't testify and certainly don't take a position on behalf of the city, but if that was something you all would want to join me on, I do think it's...
I think that would be useful. I mean, to the extent that we can, I think we need to put as much leverage behind it as possible.
But, you know, where I think, you know, a lot of this is obviously political. I think there are a number of people that don't want to be perceived as supporting a new tax. To me, this is just capturing tax revenue that has shifted because of changing retail habits. Mm-hmm. Other questions? John, any other, what am I forgetting?
Yeah, I would just bring up, you know, Mike talked about the general fund piece, which is about $4.8 million. You know, whether we do it, I would just tell you, you never want to put a renewal on with a new tax for the same thing. It won't go. They'll vote for the renewal and not the new tax. So I would not recommend putting on a new tax for parks in November. The use tax and you know, the biggest problem that I see the city has is the general fund. And so you either have a use tax, a parks tax that reduces the sales tax, and Mr. Thomas is absolutely right. You're voting to do it, put it somewhere else. You know, street maintenance is right there with it. It's part of the general fund as well. And so in order for me, if we don't do anything for the general fund next year, we're going to be back in the same boat we were this year. I'm going to have to cut certain places to do certain things we want to get done, such as, you know, doing things for the homeless, or doing some more police department or fire stations. You know, all those are general fund expenditures. And if you don't increase anything, we got to take it from somewhere else. And so I just want you to understand what's going to happen next year if you know, the use tax doesn't do something at the state, or we don't do something for streets. I'm putting more money in streets this year, but that's only for another 2 or 3 years, and that's, you know, you only vote on 1 year at a time, so we don't know what's going to happen in 21. So that's what I want to talk about today. Is there anything else you want us to consider for 21 other than parks? Because that's a renewal, but these other ones will be new in general.
Seems to me like we're going to wade into this hot and heavy on the 13th of August.
Sure. I just want to prepare you for that. I'm just throwing things out. I don't want to surprise you when we get there.
I think we ought to look at a gas tax. I mean, those prices have come down as the economy's changed, and that could go to streets, and streets repairs is popular. As people see the reality of the cuts, I mean, nobody ever wants to be in a position to ask people to pay more. It's difficult politically. People want more stuff and want to pay less. It runs counter to that, but we're not going to cut our way to greatness. You know, I've been on council for 8 years. We've had tough budgets. Man, has it been 7 of them? We had a good year once, and we played some catch up, and it didn't feel like a good year. And other than that, we've been hacking away. You know, we're cutting into our capacity. We're you know, we're eroding our ability to deliver basic services. And, you know, we could do further cuts and get through, but not hand off, you know, a great city. If you look at history, people did great things. Look at how many businesses started during the Great Depression, how many, you know, life continues to happen. People want to live, people live in Columbia. There's cheaper places to live, but people live here because of the amenities and our quality of life and our reluctance to let them vote it down if they don't want to do it. But let's not self-censor and decide that we're just going to dismantle the city slowly and incrementally. That's not how I want to be remembered for what I did at this time in history. Let's consider a gas tax. That seems an easy lift. And we, God knows we need the money in the streets.
Any other comments? Municipalities can pass, what, up to 5 cents for 5%?
I'd have to go back and look. I don't know what the number is, but there's a limit.
For the gas tax for the purposes of transportation.
When you ask the question, are we preempted? I mean, we really don't know the answer to that question. Because it depends on which battles you pick, I guess, you know.
So I just wanted to, you know, talk about this because we need to prepare for it. Should on the 13th as well. Should you want me to bring something forward, I'd like to bring that forward now and talk about it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Scott.
Recognition. I think it's also a legitimate point that Mr. Thomas brings up too. I mean, when we talk about these things, we got to talk about it in a holistic fashion about. All of the issues that we have, that is, the issue of the balance between sales tax and property tax and lots of other taxes. I mean, it's always a very complicated conversation, and the property taxes certainly involve the school district to a large degree because we've ceded a lot of that territory to it. And to Mike's issue as well as to what we deliver and so on and what we promise, we've come through this reasonably well, despite the fact that we're in the midst of a pandemic and God, we've been tightening our belts for the 12, or now it's 10 or 11 year, however long I've been around here, for every year, a percent
seems
or
like
two
it.
Or so. Yeah, so I'm not sure. But when you're talking about 7 or 10% cuts per year, that's a significant difference here, and although we built up some sizable reserves, if you will, we ought to be given credit for that at this point because we may need some of those reserves in the context of what's going on right now. I think that was a very responsible thing to do, but reserves can be spent down pretty rapidly, and then you can't replace them unless you start really talking about very painful options. So, I mean, this whole thing about sales taxes and property taxes and gas taxes and all the rest of it, that's fair game. We ought to talk about it. We ought to think about it in terms of a strategic way to move forward and think about where we are and where we may be and what we may anticipate. All of this is complicated, but it's certainly worth getting into.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you. We will conclude this meeting, take a hard break, and come back in 10 minutes for the regular City Council meeting.